You're now tuned in to Nicole Whitney's News for the Soul Highlights, life-changing spotlights she has shared with leading teachers in the human consciousness field since 1997. Go now to newsforthesoul.com to hear the full shows totally free. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Next on News for the Soul, Inspiration to Creation with Nina Amir. Nina is known as the Inspiration to Creation Coach. She's an intuitive transformational catalyst who elevates consciousness by reminding you who you are, a spiritual being having a physical experience. She'll inspire you to rethink your limiting beliefs, rise to your potential, and become a powerful creator who can live a human life that feeds your soul. Please welcome Nina Amir back to News for the Soul.
Welcome to the Inspiration to Creation Show. I'm Nina Amir, the Inspiration to Creation Coach. And with each and every show, it's my intention to elevate your consciousness by reminding you of who you are, a spiritual being having a physical experience. Also, my goal to inspire you to rethink your limiting beliefs, rise to your potential, become a powerful creator who can live a human life that feeds your soul. Ready to get inspired to create something amazing? So today, I want to just kind of start at the beginning, because you may have listened to my interview with Nicole and know a little bit about me, but not that much. And if you didn't listen to that interview, since this is my first solo show, I thought it appropriate to tell you a bit about myself, at least a few things that are pertinent to this show. I'm not much different than you, especially if you'd like to feel more connected to Source or Creator, to receive spiritual guidance consistently, to get unstuck, to create more in your life, more money, health, love, happiness, and fulfillment. I've been there. Sometimes I'm still there. More often than I'd like to admit, I'm still there. But I've learned some things and had some experiences that make it possible for me to share with you, to offer my wisdom to you with the hope that it helps you in some way. Actually, I see myself as an every woman, just like you, but I may be just a few steps ahead. And from that perspective, I can offer you some advice you might find useful. Actually, there's a mystical teaching about the fact that we all can teach something and that it's our obligation to do so. And the metaphor for that is that you're on a staircase and you're standing on one step, and when you teach what you need to learn, when you teach what you can teach, the wisdom you have, you get to move to the next step, and that opens up a step for somebody else to move up. So it's your obligation to keep sharing your wisdom so that you're moving up and the people behind you can move up as well. And so that's kind of the approach I take. Okay, first off, I'm an author, a blogger, and a magazine journalist, as well as a book editor. I used to be an author coach, but realized that was off purpose for me and didn't really feed my soul. But I think I came into this world with the gift of words, written words, verbal words, and words are creative. And we're going to be talking a lot about that here. I'm also a certified high performance coach. If you know something about Brendon Burchard and his work, it's a curriculum I use that he created, the certified high performance coaching. But I'm also an intuitive transformational coach. I've had an online business for many, many years, but mostly it never made me any money because, again, it was kind of misaligned with my soul. Okay, a little bit of spiritual background on me, some of which I shared with Nicole, but not in much depth. I was raised culturally Jewish and had a very strong Jewish identity. In my mid-20s, I attended Unity Church in Atlanta, Georgia. That was, I considered myself spiritual, but not religious. And I was very interested in spirituality from a New Age kind of woo-woo perspective. when my husband, who was Baptist, and I decided to raise our kids Jewish, he wanted to do a lot and get really involved in Judaism. And for the first time in my life, I really began learning about the religion of my birth and practicing it, not in a very religious or way, but in an observant way. But I also began searching for all the things I believed in within Judaism. And the more I looked, the more I found in the mystical tradition known as Kabbalah or Kabbalah. Everything was there, the angels, the reincarnation, the time travel, all kinds of things were there in Kabbalah. And so that sparked in me all sorts of ideas for books, most of which I've yet to write, but they're in the works. So I've yet to publish, but they're in the works. And I'll talk about that here, those frameworks and concepts that I uncovered and had verified by people who know more than I do, like rabbis and Kabbalists. And I'll do that in a way that's relevant to anyone from any spiritual or religious tradition. Now, for many years, I put my woo-woo nature, as I like to call it, you know, my spiritual esoteric interests on the back burner because of outside influences. And I'll talk more about that as time goes on. But these days, I'm back to being much more eclectic and metaphysical and esoteric and woo-woo, if you like, in my beliefs and practices. But don't worry. I won't be preaching about Judaism, only sharing occasionally a universal principle that comes from that tradition. Mostly, I bring in everything I've learned from everywhere, from every teacher and book and experience I've had. Now, as I shared with Nicole, I remember in high school, my mom talking about being psychic, which I'm not really sure she was, but maybe, I don't know, and UFOs. So I was introduced to the unseen world and other dimensions or off-world beings at a young age. And I'm sorry if I'm jumping about a little bit. I'm trying to kind of encapsulate my early experiences and how they're relevant to this show. Anyway, my first experience of a psychic was in social psychology class in high school. She came in and she would hold objects and tell us things about them, and she held the ring that I had from my great-grandmother. It was given to my mother through the window of a train as my mother left for Trieste, Italy, and then for Israel during the Holocaust. And so she had a lot to say about that, and I was quite intrigued. And I think that really kind of set me on that path of wanting to know more about these kind of unseen worlds and abilities, other senses that we have. I got my first tarot reading from a friend when I was working in New York and began to explore metaphysics. Around the same time in my, a little bit after that, I guess, I read Richard Bach's book, Illusions, The Adventures of a Reluctant Messiah, and I was just blown away and became hooked on learning more about the concepts in that book, which were basically all about creative thought and guidance and metaphysical beliefs. I mean, most people think Jonathan Livingston Seagull is that book that did that for them, that, opened their eyes, but not me. It was definitely Illusions. Later, I took classes, including one on reading tarot cards intuitively, and I would do tarot readings at fairs and things like that. I've also studied Kabbalah, and many of my teachings come out of this mystical tradition, as I mentioned. I've learned to do Akashic readings and pendulum work, and I'm a crystal fanatic. Just had a crystal reading from a friend, and it totally reignited my passion for crystals and that kind of energy work. So as I thought back over my kind of spiritual history, I realized that there were three big turning points for me. The first was realizing that our thoughts are creative, that our mind has this amazing power. And that set me on a trajectory of learning all I could about creative thought, deliberate creation, law of attraction. I even became a law of attraction coach and all of that. And I learned it from every perspective possible, including a little neuroscience, although I'm not, I'm no neuroscientist, but I know enough to know how our brain works and how how it interferes sometimes with its own ability to create via thought. And of course, like I said, I first learned about creative thought from Richard Bach. So the second turning point for me was realizing that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience. And I can't remember who first taught me that. You know, I mean, that phrase is thrown around a lot in spiritual circles and metaphysical circles. But that concept of I am a spiritual being having a human experience was just kind of mind-blowing to me, along with the creative thought. So that was the second turning point, was understanding that. And the third was realizing that we all creators. We all are creators. We have a spark of divinity within that is creative. And I believe that's our souls, because we are created in the, you know, so-called image of God or the creator, but we aren't that image. We just have this piece of divinity within us, which is our souls. And when we align with the soul and put our minds to use creating what we want and keep our physical vibration high, anything becomes possible. We can create what we desire. I'm always going to be honest here. Always. I will be honest with you here. For many years, I didn't create what I wanted. Quite the opposite, in fact. And I was frustrated and unhappy and angry and vibrating at a pretty low point. I was ready for a divorce. I hadn't written in years. I wasn't making money. And maybe you can relate to that. Maybe you feel those kinds of negative emotions. Maybe you're ready to ditch your job or your marriage or relationship. Maybe you feel hopeless or stuck. Your life feels like a cage and you don't have the key, but other people seem to have it. They got out of their cages. And they now live the charged up life you really want. They have the things you want to create. I get it. I've been there. And we're going to talk about why you create what you don't want rather than what you do want. Now, what I realized was, first, I was the problem. Yeah, that was my first real realization when I started looking at that, about how I wasn't creating what I wanted. And I said to myself, you know, Nina, you're the problem. The human me with the bad mental, emotional, and physical habits, the unconscious beliefs, the lack of inspiration, motivation, and passion, the one totally off purpose and taking no responsibility for myself, for my circumstances, for any of it. That was who the problem was. I was the problem. I was the obstacle standing between me and everything I wanted. I knew I deserved and was here to experience and to create. Think about it. Have you ever gotten really honest with yourself and taken that kind of responsibility? Could you right now take that kind of responsibility and be honest and say, I am the problem. I am the problem. I am what's in the way of between me and what I want. Between me and where I want to go, between me and who I know I can be, me now and the me I know I can be. I got to the point where I was so fed up with being stuck, with feeling how I felt and miscreating what I really did not want, that I could hardly stand it. And so rather than just go on living that way, I decided to get help. And it just so happened that at that time, a program came into my experience, and I decided to go into this program, which was personal growth and then later turned into also spiritual growth. So basically, I got help from the coaches in that program, other coaches. I hired a hypnotist. I entered masterminds. I worked with people who focused on intuition, and I went for energy clearing. I did everything I could, right? I worked on the human part of myself primarily for the first 6 months or so, or years, primarily on the human part of myself, my habits, my mindset, my energy, things like that. And as a high performance coach, I had a lot of tools and I had a community that could support me as well. And I worked with coaches, like I said. But there was another issue that was beyond personal growth, personal development. It involved spiritual growth, spiritual development. I was misaligned with my soul. I wasn't listening to its guidance or the guidance of, you know, that came from my spirit guides, my spiritual guides. And I have quite a few of those. They're probably quite frustrated with me since, you know, I don't always listen to them. And at that point, I wasn't listening to them at all. Right? So I wasn't listening to my soul. I wasn't listening to my spiritual guides. I wasn't feeding my soul either. Something else I talk a lot about is how you feed your soul. By that I mean I wasn't doing things that brought me joy and fulfillment. I wasn't using my gifts or working towards my greater purpose. I wasn't following my intuition. I wasn't following my inspiration. I wasn't creating. And that wasn't that long ago. Different is that now I focus on learning to live a human physical life that feeds my soul, the spiritual part of me. I've given things up, like that author coaching I mentioned. I've gone back to writing, and I'm paring down my business to only things I want to do, feel inspired to do, want to create, and that are on purpose for me. I'm creating new relationships and friendships with people who are like-minded, who have that same, my friend likes to call it alternative, belief about the world. So I want you to think about your life for a moment. Think about your life. What do you do that you resist, that you hate, that you would love to get rid of? Somebody, I had an energy clearing session with somebody recently, a friend actually, and she said, "You're doing a lot of things that you don't like to do." And I thought, "Nah, that's not true." And I came home and thought about it. I thought, I'm still doing things I don't want to do that I resist. So what do you resist? What do you hate? What do you would you love to get rid of in your life? And how does having those things in your life impact your experience of life? It doesn't nourish your soul, that's for sure. And that's why you feel the way you do. And what if those things were gone? Imagine for a moment that you could rid yourself of them, or you waved a magic wand and they were gone. Imagine that for a moment you can feel how that would nourish your soul, how the quality of your life would change. I apologize for the barking dog we have, and you will probably hear her quite often on my show. Anyway, today I'm focused on how to be someone who can do the things that will get me from where I am now to where I want to be. I'm focused on being someone who receives that guidance, who is open to it, someone who does the things that nourishes her, that feeds her soul. As I said, I see myself as an every woman, just a few steps ahead of you, but able to disseminate what I learn in a way that you might find useful. Just last night with some of my new friends, I've only lived in New Mexico a year, and so I have this group of just four of us. We call it the Inner Circle, and we get together to do drumming and new moon ceremonies and create magic. So we were drumming, and I really got it that I'm here to bring down information from the celestial realms, from the spiritual realms, to be a vessel for that information, and then to offer it to you in a grounded manner, a manner that's easy for humans like you and me to digest and understand and put to use. Because if you're not using it, then you won't be creating anything. You won't be creating change. Now, maybe you listen to News for the Soul because you want to be like some of the show hosts. Maybe you feel like you're just not there yet. And I get that. I've been there, and sometimes I still feel that, you know, that I'm just not there yet. You know, the other people are there, and I'm not. Many days I still feel that way. But I'm here to share with you those beginner steps and some more advanced ones to help you get from point A, where you are now, to point B, where you want to go, to help you become the person you know you are, know you want to be, know you need to be to create what you want, or here to create in this lifetime. Okay, so that's enough about me. Let's talk about what inspiration to creation means. What's the show about? Like, why should you listen to it? You know? I believe that inspiration leads to creation. And inspiration is the soul talking to you, asking you to do the things that feed it, nourish it, nourish you. It's the soul saying, hey, here's a little nudge in a direction for your highest good. Now, sometimes we get that nudge, we feel the inspiration, and we listen, and sometimes we don't. If we do listen and pay attention and take action, we're likely to create something pretty awesome. And later we'll talk more about that. I believe we get to a point of knowing the inspired action to take next, and that's when creation happens. That's when we get inspired results. We're powerful creators. Powerful, powerful creators, and I'll talk more about that in a minute. Now, it's important that we all be on the same page when it comes to terminology. So as I explain what the show's about, what inspiration to creation means, it's necessary, I think, to define some terms. So hopefully in doing so, I'll inspire you to consider your own definitions and expand your understanding a little bit. So inspiration to creation, what is inspiration? Most dictionaries define inspiration in similar terms. So like Merriam-Webster defines inspiration as something that makes someone want to do something or that gives someone an idea about what to do or create. Other definitions include the process of being mentally stimulated to do or feel something, especially to do something creative. It's the quality or state of being inspired and a sudden, brilliant, creative, or timely idea. Now, these last definitions, I beg to differ slightly. I don't think inspiration is mental stimulation. Or let me put it this way. I don't think it's mental stimulation that causes inspiration. I believe it's your soul talking to you. Now, that said, we can be mentally stimulated, like at a motivational talk or you listening to my show, and that causes us to have that hit of inspiration. So let's break down the word inspired a little bit more, or inspiration. I often heard Wayne Dyer, bless his soul, talk about inspiration or being inspired as being in spirit. I don't consider spirit and soul as the same thing, but that's a discussion for another time, or maybe an interview with a teacher of mine who has more to say on this topic than I ever could. I can use the word spirit and soul interchangeably, though, and I would say that we feel spiritual when we are in spirit. By that I mean that we feel that connection to our soul or to God, right? And so these are the times we feel spiritual or we have a spiritual experience maybe. Now, traditionally the word spiritual is defined as relating to or affecting the human spirit or soul as opposed to material or physical things or something relating to religion or religious belief. I want to be clear, again, this is not a religious show. Whatever I share or believe is shared with the intent of inspiring and educating anyone with anyone from any religious or spiritual background, okay? To inspire and educate anyone with any religious or spiritual beliefs to transformation, to lasting change. I believe you can be spiritual and not religious, or religious and not spiritual. So as for the definition, I do believe that the word spiritual relates to the soul and things that are not physical. Okay, the word creation. We have inspiration to creation, right? So everyone experiences the desire to create, but too often we feel as if we lack the ability to create anything at all. So, you know, you might lose faith in your own creative nature. You don't think you're a creator. Plus, we commonly find ourselves creating what we don't want rather than what we do want. But we rarely admit that those things that we don't want are our creations. As a result, we get discouraged, we stop trying altogether because we just see that things are coming into our life despite our efforts to create what we want. And these things coming in are things we don't want, and it must be because of something else besides ourselves that that's happening. So So think about what you might like to create right now. You might want to create the ability to purchase a new car, the opportunity for a better job, a way to increase your income, a fulfilling romantic relationship, or better health. Or perhaps you want to create a business of your own, a traditional book deal, a painting, a song, a new house, a water fountain in your garden. It doesn't really matter what you want to create. You do, in fact, have the inherent ability to create it. And you create things all the time. Sometimes, however, you don't create what you want because you aren't as intentional about your creations as you could be. Matter of fact, mostly you create unconsciously. But you are a creator, whether you like what you're creating or not. You are a creator, even though you don't see the results that would help you believe this to be true. So how do I know this? How do I know this? I have studied spiritual texts, and most of them say the same thing. God, Source, Allah, Yah, whatever name you use for whatever created this world, is a creator. Every spiritual tradition says it, that something created the world. We'll just call it the creator or source. And we are living proof of that fact, as is the planet that we live on and the universe in which that planet resides. Most of the spiritual texts also say that human beings were created in the image of God. That doesn't mean, as I said before, it doesn't mean we look like God, but we share that, you know, one important characteristic with the creator, and that's the ability to create. Now, mystical traditions have also taught us that the ability to focus our thoughts on what we want helps us bring those desires into the physical world. And that brings us back to creative thought, to deliberate creation, conscious creation, right? But today, we also have quantum physics, which has proven that our attention, our thoughts, have energy that creates change. The mind is a powerful creative tool. Focus on something and it changes. That's the old experiment, I can't think of the name of it right now, the double slit experiment, where waves and particles were changed based on attention. So we know from a scientific perspective that the mind is a powerful tool, a powerful creative tool. Thoughts have energy. Matter of fact, the thoughts that you think create energy in the brain. So if you aren't spiritual, look to science, and you'll discover that everything's made up of energy, the same energy that created the universe, and you're part and parcel of that energy, and your mind is creating energy every time you think a thought. And then we share this important characteristic with Source, that ability to create, because we are energetic beings. The mystical texts also talk about God's first desire, the desire to create something besides itself. And so, like the creator, humans, you and I, feel the desire for something else, for something more. And that's that inspiration. That's where we get into, you know, this desire to create something more, something other than what we're experiencing now. So think about it. All day, every day, you express desires. For example, maybe you have the, you know, you suddenly get the desire, I want to eat, or I want a new car, I wish I could find a better job, I want to retire, I want to feel healthy, I want to take a nap. Each time you feel inspired, you also express a desire. Maybe it's the desire to bring something new into the world. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to paint a picture. Maybe you want to share a photo with some friends off your phone. Maybe you want to redecorate your house. Your desires continually propel you toward the creation of what you want. But you still need to go through the process of creation. And thinking about what you want isn't necessarily enough to make it real. I don't think you can cause a Mercedes to miraculously appear in your garage. Most humans are not magicians. Now, there are some highly advanced spiritual beings, Christed beings, who can do that. Christ could Yeah, Jesus, the Christ, because Christ is a term for spiritual attainment, a level of spiritual attainment. Christ could manifest things. I think it's Sai Baba who could manifest things. So some humans are a bit like magicians, but most of us can't do that yet. But our desires work like magnets if we allow them to do that. More often than not, though, we don't allow what we want to manifest in our lives. Hear that again. We don't allow it. We block our desires with our lack of belief in our creative nature and our negative self-talk. The number one reason you don't bring your desires into the physical world is that you don't take action on them, though. The proverbial light bulb turns on, you get inspired, you see what you want to create, and then you dismiss it. You dismiss it as not possible. Or maybe you think it'll take too much time and effort to make that idea real. Perhaps you believe your desire is trivial or not worth pursuing, or you're not good enough to create it. Or you think you'll act on what you want to create later, but later doesn't roll around because life gets in the way, right? Mel Robbins, the author of The 5-Second Rule, describes a 5-second window that exists between the moment you have an instinct to change or create, an inspiration, a bit of guidance from your soul, that nudge, that instinct to change or create, and your mind killing that desire. Because your mind is so powerful, not only can it create thoughts, but it can also create what you think. The reptilian part of your brain, which you'll hear me talk about a lot, the oldest part of your brain, is set up to negate, to discourage you from doing anything that is different or risky. But anything different, it perceives as risky. Changing your mindset, changing your habits, creating something new, believing you're a creator, wanting to feed your soul, these are all things you've never done before or haven't done consistently, and your brain, the reptilian part of your brain, says, don't do that. It's dangerous. Its job is to keep you safe. Its job is to keep you caged, to keep you stuck, to keep you in the land of being comfortable, in that comfortable life. And so, if you don't, within 5 seconds, take action, your mind will begin talking to you. Your brain will begin talking to you and telling you not to do that thing. So if you don't act fast, your mind eliminates the option of creating what you want. Also, a negative mental focus can become an obstacle to creating what you want, what you desire, what you feel inspired to create. And you've probably experienced this. You know, you come up with a great idea, or you feel inspired to take action on something new that you want to create, and your mind begins to focus on all the reasons why you shouldn't or can't create what you want. Initially, the impulse to create inspired you, but now your negative self-talk discounts your ideas or desires, what the brain does. Soul gives you the inspiration, and the brain says, wait a minute. Maybe that's not such a good idea right now. Maybe that's not such a good idea ever. And so you go on with your life. And you think you create nothing. But in fact, you're always creating. You're always creating something. Just look around and you'll see that this is true. Of course, again, you have to be pretty honest with yourself. And you have to take responsibility for just about everything you see or experience in your life. So here's the point. Know you are a creator. Know you are a creator and take action to create your desires. Realize you have enormously powerful creative nature. Believe it and use it intentionally. And if you don't like what you're creating in your life or experience, decide to create something different. Feel that desire, that inspiration for something new and better. Think about what you want all the time and take action to bring it into reality. You have to take action. We live in a physical world. anyone who is teaching you law of attraction or conscious creation or deliberate creation and says, just think about it, visualize it, feel it, and it will show up, is misguiding you, because we live in a physical world where action is necessary. Now, visualizing, affirmations, you know, all of that, creating a vision board, these are all actions. So you are taking some action, but I'm talking about actually taking action in the physical world. So if you want a new job, you will have to begin applying for them. Or like I recently told my daughter, you know, sit down and imagine and write down your vision for your perfect job, and then go looking for it, or ask someone to create it for you, or you create it for yourself. There's always a way, 100% possible, 100% of the time, but you have to do something in this physical world, unless you're one of those magicians, unless you're one of those people who have reached a crisis. Stand in your power, your full power. As a creator, you have to take responsibility, and I know people hate that word, and I know there's that old New Age guilt, well, you know, I have cancer, so, you know, I must have done something to deserve it, or it's my thoughts that created it, and, you know, I don't want you to go there. That's not what this show is about. It's never where I want to take anyone into that feeling of guilt and shame and feeling like you did something bad and, you know, you created this horrible situation. On the other hand, you have to take full responsibility for your habits, your commitments, your thoughts, mindsets and behaviors. All of that creates your reality and your circumstances, your health, your relationships, your finances, etc. Look, I have calcification around my heart. And I spent a lot of years with a heart wall up. So it's no wonder that I have calcification around my heart. It's a heart wall. I put it there emotionally and mentally, right? I have high cholesterol. Well, that's all about, you know, not enjoying your life. I wasn't enjoying my life. I enjoy it now, but I wasn't. I have to take responsibility for the fact that I created that. Without guilt, without shame, without feeling horrible, it's all a lesson. I just have to say, okay, so on some level I created that, probably unconsciously, usually unconsciously, but I created it, and now I can do something about that. So know that you have to take responsibility and accept that. And when you do that, you step into being a powerful, conscious, and deliberate creator. Again, you've heard about conscious or deliberate creation, about creative thought, about the law of attraction, manifestation. You can create whatever you want if you first take responsibility for you being the creator of your experiences. If you don't like your experience or circumstance, take responsibility for the fact you created it and then create something new. So what is it that stops you from creating what you really want? All coming from the human side. It's your doubt that you can do it, doubt that it's possible, doubt that you can succeed. It's fear. Again, brain-based, right? You're not going to die. In personal growth circles, we often say, you know, just try it. And for someone comes back and they said they try it, and the question is, did you die? We're afraid of a future potential, afraid of something happening that isn't what we want. And that is our fear, is just of this future negative potential coming to be. And it's not that we're physically in danger. We don't have a car coming at us head on. No car barreling towards us as we are in the crosswalk. We don't have a mountain lion ready to pounce on us when we're out hiking. That's real fear. That's real fear. Real fear. Physical danger. We are afraid in our mind. I have a little booklet I wrote, meant to be a longer book, that is about walking the narrow bridge And this comes out, it comes from a Jewish mystic named Rabbi Nachman of Breslov, who had a little song or prayer about, or saying that all the world is just a narrow bridge and the main thing is not the fear. And that's how it's normally translated. But what it really means is, or the way you really translate it, is all the world is just a narrow bridge and the main thing is not to make ourselves afraid. We're walking across a narrow bridge all the time. We could die any second. And we're not afraid because we're not thinking about anything that could happen to us. And so we have to not make ourselves afraid. That's the brain telling you it's not safe, it's not okay, it's not, you know, the right thing to make a change. Something bad might happen. That stops you from creating big time. Our doubts and our fears are the biggest reasons we don't create what we want. And along with that are thoughts and beliefs and stories. So, you know, we're thinking about the past, and we've let the past dictate our present and our future because we believe, we thought about something long enough. So beliefs are thoughts we think often until they become a belief. And so things have happened to us in the past, and they've caused us to think and then believe that we're not good enough, we can't do it, we'll fail, we always get hurt, it never works out. You know, all those old negative beliefs and stories. And we keep telling them over and over again, and they prevent us from creating what we want. And then we have unsupportive habits, mental habits and physical habits. Right? And so if you're allowing all that negative mental chatter and you're allowing your brain to tell you not to do things, then that's an unsupportive habit. We have unsupportive emotional habits, like reacting rather than responding the same way every time something happens. And we have unsupportive physical habits, like overeating or eating sweets or drinking too much. All of this lowers our vibration. And we have unconscious beliefs that we don't even know are there, that contradict what you want. We have values also sometimes that are contradictory. And so we say we want more wealth or to grow our business, but we're afraid, you know, in the background we have a program running that says, yeah, but if you're wealthier or your business grows, you won't have, you know, freedom. You won't have time. And these are running unconsciously in the background. And so those prevent us from creating what we want. Sometimes we lack commitment. We're just not committed enough to creating what we want. Or we lack inspiration. And we're creating from need or fear or anger or something else. And those kinds of creations won't be realized. Well, let me rephrase that. If you're creating from inspiration, you will likely create what you want. If you're creating from need, fear, anger, whatever, you will create more reason to need and fear and be angry. So again, that's you're creating what you don't want. Often you're misaligned. Another reason you don't create what you want. You're misaligned. You're off purpose and not aligned with your soul's desires. So you're really not creating from inspiration. You're creating from your ego. You can also not create because of an inability to let go. That old saying, let go and let God. You have to open your hand. If there's a circumstance in your life that you want to change and you know what it is and you say, this is my desire and I'm inspired to change it, sometimes you have to open your hand and allow the creator, source, to co-create it with you. If you don't let go, then what's happening is you're wanting to control what shows up and how it shows up and when it shows up and all of that. I already said that. When it shows up, how it shows up. And we only have so much control. And when we can have faith and trust in the creator who help us co-create it, something for our highest good, that's when it will come to pass. You might have blocks to receiving. It's another issue. You're not really an open vessel to what's coming to you. You're blocking it. Sounds crazy, but it happens all the time. You might be vibrating too low. We're your energetic beings, as I said, and so your vibration might be too low because you're angry, because you're resentful, because you're depressed, any of those things. You know, so if your vibration is low rather than high, it becomes very hard to create. So we need to be in a place of joy and love and gratitude. That helps, changes our vibration. I mentioned inspiration already many times, but you know, you may lack inspiration. And so sometimes that comes from just doing things that, you know, you don't want to do, or just not listening to your inspiration, or not going out in nature. But lack of inspiration will cause us to create things that we don't want. We could also lack passion. Passion is a great inspirer. But basically, human nature gets in the way of your spiritual nature. So if you were totally tapped into your spiritual nature, you would be creating from there. But our human nature gets in the way. All those unsupportive habits, the negative thoughts and self-talk, the brain telling us, you know, don't do that, it's scary. The brain and the mind, you know, focusing on negative future potentialities. All of that is your human nature that's getting in the way of your spiritual nature, which is inspiring you, sending you little messages, you know, little bits of inspiration and saying, create this. This is for your highest good. This feeds me, the spiritual part of you. This feeds my, you know, your soul. This will nurture me, the soul is saying, right? So you have responsibility for these things, all of them. All of these reasons I just went through for why you don't create what you want, why you create what you don't want instead, you have to take responsibility for those and choose to change, to do it differently. Choose to change your vibration, to raise it. Choose to not be focused on fearful thoughts. Choose to give up those old stories and unsupportive habits. Choose to uncover your unconscious beliefs or subconscious beliefs, we could say. Choose to be more committed. These are things you can do. I had to, at a certain point, take total responsibility for my marriage, which was failing. I realized that I could choose to stay and be unhappy or leave. Right? I could choose to stay, be unhappy. I could also choose to leave, or I could choose to change how I responded to my husband and interpreted his actions. I could be responsible for me and what I was doing. I could, you know, all of it. I didn't have to stay there and be unhappy. And I realized that I was making me unhappy. It wasn't him, it was me. And how I looked at him and how I reacted to him and all of it was my thoughts about him and the marriage and what I wanted and didn't have and my complaining, my constant complaining. I was like, stop complaining, Nina, for God's sake. Stop complaining and make a decision. Get in or get out. And by get in, that meant make a change within me. I couldn't change him. Same could be said of my relationship with my old literary agent. When it went south, I kept waiting for the sale of the book project so I could fire him. And I was just avoiding taking full responsibility for allowing this relationship to get to this point. For my part in creating it, by being passive and not standing up for myself and saying what I wanted, or choosing a relationship with a literary agent that felt better. We all have choice. I had to take responsibility for my career, my finances, my health. So what do you need? What do you need in order to take responsibility? What do you need to create what you desire, what your soul desires? Another thing that stops you is that you're likely not working on both the spiritual and physical levels of who you are. All of you, the whole entire you, you're a spiritual being having a human physical experience. Your soul is pure. It does not get programmed by the sheer fact that you are human. It has no fear. It trusts in its connection to Source, the Creator. But the human part of you is programmed by everything it hears, learns, is taught, and experiences. And that's why it has fears, limiting beliefs, negative thoughts, unsupportive habits. Generally, the human brain's function causes you to feel challenged to create what your soul desires for you, as well as what you desire for yourself. Here, we're going to explore how to move past that. How to have your spiritual and human parts working together. You need to tap into your inner guidance system, your spiritual guidance system. Create from a place of inspiration, from listening to your soul. Same time, you have to work with the human part to change your habits and your mindset. I take a really holistic approach to transformation, working with all of who you are to help you become a person who can feed your soul, who can achieve your purpose, who can do the things you want to do, have the things or experiences you want to have. And I want you to know that change is different from transformation. There's a process of change. When you arrive at the point where you have changed, that's transformation. You've transformed. And that change is lasting, not fleeting. What I want for you is lasting change, transformation, because you've probably experienced that, you know, that, oh, I changed. Oh, I didn't change. Oh, I changed. Oh, I didn't change. That's not transformation. And the change could be new habits or thought or behavior, different levels of prosperity, altered relationships, improved health, improved emotional state, whatever it is you want. And the way to get there is by addressing both your spiritual and physical human being. I know how tough it can feel to think you're stuck, to feel like nothing you do is creating change. Really, I've been there and I have done that. It's time to change that, is it not? So take a deep breath, in through the nose, out through the mouth. Do it again, in through the nose, out through the mouth. And imagine for a moment what it would be like if you changed in the ways you